Our sermon today is based on a reading from Matthew chapter 25, verses 15 through 19. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who was called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Thank you, God, for speaking to us through dreams. We've come to the end of our sermon series in honor of Women's History Month. We've been looking at some obscure and overlooked women in the Bible, the women who walked and wailed as Jesus carried his cross to Calvary, the woman named Junia, who still inspires debate as to whether or not she was a disciple or even a woman, the little girl who set the soldier Naaman on the path to healing with the prophet Elijah, and Pharaoh's daughter, whose act of rebellion against her father's evil edict to kill Hebrew boys upon birth inspires us to stand up to tyranny, cruelty, and injustice. Today we find one more woman to wonder about who, like many others, just had a passing reference in the scripture that tempts us to want to learn more about her. I want to know more about the dream Pilate's wife had. I'm not 100% a Freudian, but I do believe dreams encompass messages from our subconscious sometimes. You ever have the running dream where you're trying to run just as fast as you can, but you can hardly move your legs? Or how about the dream where it's final exam time and you realize you never went to that class all semester and you actually forgot you had that particular class and now you have to take the final? I have some really wild dreams sometimes. One recurring dream I have is I'm looking through a certain room, not sure what it is I'm looking for, but interested in what may be hiding in a drawer or closet. And I dream pretty frequently about Neil Diamond. In the dream, I'm at a concert, and of course, Neil is going around singing while wearing one of his sparkly shirts, and I'm in the audience clapping and singing, "Whoa, whoa, whoa," when he sings "Sweet Caroline." But sometimes I get to meet him backstage, and sometimes he even kisses me. These dreams are so vivid. I wake up thinking, did I really go see Neil Diamond? I have seen him in concert 3 times. Did he really kiss me? He has not kissed me yet. Like many of the women we've learned and heard about over the years, Pontius Pilate's wife is not given a name in the scripture that mentions her and then moves on. Ancient tradition says her name is Claudia Procula, and she was the granddaughter of Caesar Augustus, the first solo emperor of Rome. Her very Caesar Augustus, you know, that called the census that led Mary and Joseph to go to Bethlehem. Her very presence in Jerusalem at the time was intriguing because wives did not normally accompany their husbands to the provinces where they served as governor. So how did Claudia know about Jesus? How did she come to dream about him? Had she ever met him? Had she seen him on the streets, heard other people talking about him? How odd to dream about someone she'd never met, much like me and Neil Diamond. But what kind of dream did she have about Jesus? It must have been a troubling dream. She asserted she had suffered a great deal in her dream about him. But can you imagine having a bad dream about Jesus? What did he say to her? What did he show her? Inquiring minds want to know. Dreams are a big deal in the Bible. People gave great credence to their dreams back then. A recurring theme in Matthew's gospel was being warned in a dream. God appeared in dreams to many different people in the Bible: Jacob, Jacob's father-in-law, Laban, Solomon, King Nebuchadnezzar, Jesus' adoptive father, Joseph, the Magi. Joseph, Jacob's son, had wonderful dreams, but they got him in trouble with his jealous brothers. His ability to interpret dreams got him out of prison and elevated him to the position of governor in Egypt, in charge of helping people through the famine. God communicates through dreams. God told the people of Israel, when there are prophets among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. Could we consider Claudia Procula as a prophet? She did something very prophet-like. When she received a message in a dream, a message from Jesus himself, she didn't hoard it or hide it. She took it very seriously. She knew that dream meant something, and its message was important. She knew she was supposed to share it. So she sent a note to her husband, Pilate, right away with a warning, "Leave that man alone." Whatever she saw in her dream, it frightened her enough to break protocol and contact Pilate as he was sitting on the judgment seat. She made a public appeal to her husband to do the right thing, to distance himself from this dissident man. What could have been in that dream that moved and motivated her to mention it to her husband with such a sense of urgency? What did Pilate do when he received her message? He probably thought with irritation, what does she want now? Pick up eggs at the market on my way home? Claudia was not encouraged to take any political stands or interfere with Pilate's work. Pilate may have been irritated that she had the audacity to interrupt those important proceedings and expect him to stop what he was doing just because she said he should. You know what the time and tempo of the world in which Claudia and Pilate lived was like. Women's words were given very little weight. No one was beholden to listen to, much less believe anything a woman said. Women couldn't testify in court. So perhaps Pilate was insulted that Claudia tried to give him some advice and tell him what to do. What did she know about what was going on in the courtroom that day? Why would she try to defend the prisoner Jesus? What, just because he had a dream? There may have been a small part of him that gave some credence to Claudia's cautiousness. He did try to get the people to change their minds, asking them over and over, why should I condemn him? What has this man done? But when they continued to insist Jesus deserved to be crucified, Pilate took some water and washed his hands before them and said, do whatever you want. I am innocent of this man's blood. He caved into the people's pressure and afterwards tried to exonerate himself from what they chose to do. Did Pilate go home and tell Claudia what had happened? And after Jesus was crucified and then rose on the third day, did this affect them too? Did his resurrection blow their minds? Tradition in the Eastern Orthodox Church says Claudia and Pilate converted to Christianity later in their lives, and now they are saints in the Eastern Orthodox Church because they were later supposedly martyred, killed for their belief in Jesus Christ. While other faiths do not consider the pair to be saints, Claudia is to be applauded for speaking up and trying to get Pilate to leave Jesus alone. And we can still learn a lesson or two from her. One can be especially directed to men in the audience. Guys, listen to your wives. Women generally are wonderfully wise, and God speaks to women too. Here's another lesson we can learn. Claudia convinces us to do the right thing. Maybe she knew her husband wouldn't listen to her. She warned him away from condemning Jesus, but she made the effort at least. She was the only one who stood up for Jesus in that awful hour. Not even his fellow disciples came to his rescue. We have to speak up sometimes, even though we may feel we will be ignored. When we have the truth, we can speak boldly and unflinchingly. Claudia may have never met Jesus face to face, maybe in that one disturbing dream, but she knew he was righteous, she knew he was innocent, and she knew she had to do something, however small, to try to save him and protect Pilate as well. Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, and Claudia told him to stand up for truth and justice, but he wasn't brave enough. Claudia knew she had to speak up for Jesus. She knew she had to clear her own conscience and put in a good word for Jesus and insist upon his innocence. Even in a dream, Jesus made a significant difference in her life and had a big impact on her. I'd like to think that she did change her heart and did become a believer. She tried to save Jesus. It makes you wonder, why was a warning dream sent only to her? Why not to Pilate or to one of the people accusing Jesus? It was a plea for clemency and mercy and clarity from an unexpected quarter. Was it a test of sorts to see if she would share, to see if Pilate would listen? Was it a way to introduce her to Jesus and to see how obedient she might be? Don't discount your dreams, friends. You may just receive a message God wants you to share. So we have walked through Women's History Month together, celebrating dreamers and schemers, rebels and wailers, women who try to make a difference and make their voices heard. Let's listen to them, not just once a month, but every month, every day, every hour. Who knows what message God has given to them to pass on to us? A message of justice and righteousness, a message that takes just as much courage to listen to as it does to deliver it. Let us listen. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for these sisters we have celebrated this month and the impacts they have made on our faith. May we be like the women who walked alongside Jesus, not wailing and woe and lament, but rejoicing in all he has done for us. May we be disciples like Junia, helping others and sharing the good news. May we be like that little girl from Israel who remembered her upbringing and shared her innocent trust in your power to heal. May we be like Pharaoh's daughter, seeing evil for what it is and resolving to rectify and redeem all who may suffer in its wake. And may we be like Pilate's wife, paying attention to the dreams you send us and sharing a message of hope and assurance with all whom we encounter. Amen.